Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I mean that He is moving by the Holy Spirit. The King is coming. And this is a time we need to recognize Jesus as our King who is coming. And we need to receive the fact that the King is coming as if the Holy Spirit showed it to us. The Spirit of knowledge, because He's coming. The Spirit of wisdom, prepare, because He's coming. The Spirit of counsel, get your house in order, because the King is coming. Fear the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is coming. The Jesus, our King, is coming. He's coming. He's coming imminently, at any moment now. This is very important. If you knew for a fact that He was coming today at 12 o'clock, how would you live? What would you do? How would you pray? But that's how we need to live. If we knew that He was coming at high noon today, we would prepare for it. And the word said that the church has made herself ready. When women get ready to get married, they make themselves ready. They do their hair. They do their dress. They're kind. They don't get in fights. There's all kind of things they do when they're getting ready to get married. Now, it's important to know, same thing for when Christ is coming. He's our King. Now, the preparation process, you have to work on yourself. You have to change your ways. Sometimes get rid of dead opinions, things that's holding you back. Laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you. Don't you know that when the glory of God come, only those that is going to go with Him are those that can walk in the glory of God. Remember, in the Old Testament, in the temple, there was a portion of the temple called the Holy of Holies. There was no place more holy on earth, and that's where the glory of God was. So, in the glory of God, if there's sin in your life, you will die. And they would tie a rope to the priest that had to go in there and represent God to the people. And represent the people to God. He would go in there to represent all the people to God, and he had to tie a rope on his ankle in case that if he died in the glory, they could drag him out, because nobody could go in there to get him. So they had to make sure that they tied a good knot on his ankle that won't slip, because nobody could go in there and get him out. And he had bells at the end of his garments that would, as long as he's moving around, they'd ring. If they stopped hearing the bells ring, they just drug him out because he was dead. But when the Lord returns in His glory, the angels are going to take His people up who are prepared and ready. Now, all Christians will not go up. If they got sin in their life, they won't go up. If they got unforgiveness in their heart, they're not going. How many people have animosity against people? How many people have animosity against local officials, even the president? Some people can't say nothing good about their own brother. Now, you don't want the accuser to find something against you. You want to be pure before the Lord. And the reason we're pure is because we are washed in the blood. And that's it. That's why we're pure. But you have to cooperate with life. You can't go against life. You can't go back and eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil all over again. You can't go back and do something that God said don't do. Galatians 5, or it's 5 or chapter 5 or 6. It tell you things that can cause a Christian person to not make heaven. Fornication, adultery, lying, witchcraft. It lists about 6 things. I call those the no-nos. Don't do that. But when you prepare, when you live by the love of God, you fulfill the whole law. You can't fill your heart with God's love towards people and then go out and do somebody wrong. We are here to represent Jesus. And I want to represent Jesus with everything I've got. Now, I teach you to do things in God's strength. And I mean it. Do it in God's strength. With everything I got, I want it to honor God. Everything. My whole life must honor God. Why not live like He's coming in the next 12 minutes? Why not live like He's coming every day? The King is coming. Why not treat Jesus like a king now, while it don't look like He's coming? While statistically, you may have a few weeks. Why not live for Jesus every moment? And I say, Lord, if there's anything that I don't know about that's wrong, I want it fixed. I confess it. I use confessions to govern my life. I speak the word of God over my life. And I want to cooperate. I don't want to mess up. I'm not afraid of sin. I just don't want to do it. But in this world, a lot of things can get by you. You can make a comment that's no good. In passing, you don't even think about it. You can hurt somebody's feeling and not know it. But I want the Lord to help me represent Him in every way. And I believe in being bold. I believe in being truthful. And I decided a long time ago, if I got to preach God's word, I'm going to do it right. I'm not going to try to give people false hope. I'm going to tell them the truth, just like it is. Just like Jesus did. I want to be wise. I don't want to be foolish. And I'm not going to beg people to help me. I'm going to do what I can do and believe God for whatever I need. There's some things I just don't do. I'm not going to try to stick to man-made narratives just to get support. If I have to lie, I'm not going to do it. If it's not 100% truth, I'm going to teach it like it's supposed to be. And I'll land where I land. If nobody wants to hear it, I'll preach somewhere else. I'll preach where they want to know God. I made those rules a long time ago because I've seen people in denominational churches, they know that God gave the Holy Spirit. They know that speaking in tongues is right, but they stick to their narrative because that's what they do and that's what people expect and that's what they pledge that they would do. And I don't make those kind of pledges. I'm not trying to stick to an organization, no organization. I'm going to strictly teach what God give me, and that'll be good enough. And if people don't like it, then that's not my problem. I'm not trying to, life is too short to fool around. I want to do it God's way. Everything that's of God, I want to do that. There's no reason to sugarcoat God's word. Now, God does have great mercy and grace, and I know I believe in that. And when I talk, see, people will try to turn you around all the time. They don't want to love. That's why they do it. They don't want to obey what Jesus said do. They hate their enemies, and they want you to hate their enemies. They hate the candidate that they don't like, and they want you to hate the candidate that they don't like. And I don't do that. They want you to be mad at what they're mad at and frown at what they're frowning. And I don't do that. I love every soul, and I treat people like Jesus said, treat them. And I try to do that all the time. It's in my ways because it's important. Now, once I learn something that's true, I'm going to stick with it. I don't care how popular it is. You know, in Sunday school, Sister Deborah pointed out one day that people would buy all of Joyce Meyer's books just as soon as they're on the print, except for what she taught people about walking in love. The Walking in Love book stayed on the shelf. And she heard Joyce Meyer talk about that. And that's a shame. And there are many things the Lord gave me. He gave me this book called The Cost of Freedom. And it talks about the heroes of freedom. It covers a lot of things about racism, things the Lord taught me about people, about racism. And the Lord had me to write a book about when slavery was in play. A lot of our white brothers were abolitionists, and they left their families, their dreams, they put off going to school to fight a war to stop slavery and keep the country united. And these were not black people, these were white people. And this is, they knew that the injustice of slavery, and they fought against it. But on the news, they stir up racism all the time. And the Lord showed me many visions and dreams in those days. He had me to put all of that in a book. And it tells the truth. And I love to watch war movies because it helps me to appreciate the freedom that I enjoy now. But the Civil War, I don't like watching Americans kill Americans. But it had to happen. And it was our country survived it. And it was a misery that it went through on both sides. And the North won. And I thank God that they did. Because slavery hurt black people and it hurt white people in many ways. Families were divided. Sisters and brothers, mothers and daughters and sons never saw each other again. They get sold, so they have to go work the rest of their life for nothing. And it was abolished. And the South surrendered. And then we all have to heal from it. And the best way to heal is to forgive. You can't, and I talked that, you can't hold down a monster and live long. It'll eat you alive from the inside out. You know, dirt dogs go and get spiders and they stun them and they're paralyzed. Then they lay eggs in them and the young dirt daubers eat them up from the inside out. Just like animosity, just like envy, just like strife, just like unforgiveness, just like fear. But when you love people and you forgive, you heal from the inside out. Men are going to do wrong. In every race, men have done wrong. And you have to, you know, Jesus came and died for all of us, not just the people that lived a decent life. He died for so that everybody could enjoy salvation. And that's what I aim to represent. I represent God in every way, and I try to represent him in every capacity. And the things that he taught me is a healing process all by itself. And he taught me how to love his people. And he taught me about racism. And he taught me how to heal and how to... But you know, people don't want to hear that. And when I tell people about the book, they make sure they don't read it. But there are people who will read it and learn from it. They'll rather be angry. A lot of people are that way. So that's why people don't see the miracles they want to see. They got to let go of the past, let go of the... Stop retaining sins and start remitting sins. The king is coming. What will he find you retaining? What will he find you remitting? If you forgive the sins, see, when you remit sins, you're forgiving sins of people who are not repenting. If somebody do you wrong and you forgive them, and they ask you to forgive them and you forgive them, then you're forgiving them. But when you remit a person's sins, they're not forgiving. But when you forgive them, it lifts the burden of the guilt of what they've done to you. And then they can live. It's spiritual. And when you treat people like you forgave them, you remitted their sins. If you remit their sins, you remit their sin. If you remit their sins privately, it still works. And if you treat people like you've forgiven them, if you face them and say, hey, I forgave you of that, we're good. You lifted the burden of guilt from them. And you treat them like you love them. That's the heart of God. And that's the way to live. It is powerful. It is authentic. It's the true love of God. Now, people like that will do that, will follow God to that point. If you can walk in love, you will be raptured. The king is coming. Some people want God to forgive them of all their nasty sins, and then they retain the sins of others. Jesus gave a clear parable about a man that had too much debt he couldn't pay. And he begged his master to forgive him, and he did. He forgave him of all of it. Then somebody owed him money, and he required all of it, or he'd throw him in jail. And when his master found out, he put him in jail. That's what God is going to do. If you don't forgive people, after all that Jesus forgave you of, if you hold their sins against them, you are not going to be raptured. I thank God for the wake-up visions that he's given people. There was a man in Africa that died. He was dead 4 days. They embalmed him. And the angel showed him heaven, then he showed him hell. But the angel, at the end of his vision, he said, if you die now, this is where you'll be. He said, in the ambulance, you asked God to forgive you of all your sins, but you didn't forgive your wife. His wife. How many people have not forgiven their wives or their husbands or their ex-husbands or their ex-wife? When I saw that, I was just shocked. I said, man, I went back and studied that scripture all over again, the one I ignored. I ignored it. Now, I forgive people because I knew it was important. And I do it as a reflex because I learned a long time ago that you got to walk in forgiveness. So I forgave. That's what I do. But I went back and took another look at the detriment of unforgiveness. I looked at that parable all over again. And I was shocked. I said, man, how many people are walking in unforgiveness? And I said, we gotta, the king is coming now. It's too late for people that's playing around. It's time to be serious and seek the Lord and pray and do the things of God. Operate according to the love that John talked about, the love that Peter talked about. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.